It's time for the truth. Will you join me in a study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, and we're going to continue the study from the 8th verse on down. We found ourselves down through the 10th verse, but we'll begin with verse 8 and then read down into the 14th chapter. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, and of course that'd be Parkview Bible Church. Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. But again, the website, I'd love for you to look at that and enjoy that. Many studies there for you. Our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, please look at it and enjoy it. www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Beginning to read with Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, chapter 13, verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not in doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth on one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks, God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. And we're going to end there with that sixth verse of chapter 14 and begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy this time of fellowship. I do continue to thank you, Father, and praise you for the opportunity of the radio ministry that you have allowed us to have for so many years. We thank and praise you that we can open up your precious word and proclaim it, fellowship over it, and enjoy that fellowship with so many folks across the radio audience. And I just thank and praise you for it. Please continue, Father, to touch every heart. Those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation, because it is. Today is the day of salvation, not another day. You may not have, Father, they may not have another day. This is the day that they need to come. And you've told that in your word, Father. So please convict their hearts and call them. And I just plead with, Father, all the listeners that they would come to you and be born again, not hold on to a false hope. And then, Father, those that are saved and been saved for maybe a short period of time or for many years needs to concentrate and enjoy your precious word. Open it up and let the Spirit of God that indwells the believer, because when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts, to guide and to lead us in the way of righteousness. What a wonderful opportunity. I can't imagine anybody denying the coming to you, your Son, the Lord Jesus, and yet multitudes do. So, Father, today that they would come to the cross, confess their sin, and call upon you for their salvation and be born again. Please, Lord, let's guide and lead us now through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we really found ourselves down to the 10th verse, and that's where we'll begin. It says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I've got a couple of cross-references here that we're going to take a look at, and I think you're going to enjoy them. Matthew is the first one, Matthew chapter 22. I hope you have the opportunity to look through your scripture verses here. Matthew chapter 22, and I'm taking the time to turn the pages, and so you know that. And hopefully you know your Bible and you're able to find the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 22, beginning to read with verse 25 or 35. Matthew 22, 35. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, I'm at verse 34, this is kind of the beginning of it, I'm sorry. The Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which of the great commandment in the law? Which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now there's one, and for you to listen very carefully, I'm going to read verse 37 through 40 once again. This is the great commandment. It was requested by this lawyer. He wanted to know. He asked the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus quickly responded to him and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Precious words there. If you put your heart and you love the Lord Jesus, you'll learn who he is through his precious book, through his living word, the Bible, the word of God. And the more you get to know him, the better you get to know him, and the more you love him, the more you'll understand that to have a love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, not just part of it, with all thy soul, all thy mind, heart, soul, and mind, everything, your complete being. And then the second one is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you treat your neighbor or your brother as and sister, as you say, and not necessarily your siblings, but if you care for them and hold them up and respect them and treat them like you want to be treated, you know, love thy neighbors thyself. Don't you want to be loved? Don't you want to be treated properly? Well, then we need to carry out the command of the Lord here. The second is back in Luke, and it's a little longer. It's about 12 verses back in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to read from verse 25 through verse 37. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. I hope that was enough time for you to find your place. Verse 25, chapter 10 of Luke. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord Jesus responded to that, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. He knew the answer, didn't he? We need to know the answer, and this man knew the answer. Well, let's continue here in verse 29 now. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is thy neighbor? See, most folks aren't willing just to surrender to the Lord Jesus. They've got to have another question, or they've got to argue some fact or another. Please, please, I beg you to come by faith to Jesus and be born again. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell upon among thieves, stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Verse 31 of chapter 10. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. What a story. What a beautiful story. Wasn't it very sad? The two, and the Lord Jesus knows the heart of religious people. They weren't willing to touch this man. The priest first went the other way. Glanced at it, went right on around. The Levite followed suit with the priest. Both should be very religious men. Both should know the Lord Jesus. Both should have the heart and the love to help a man that was in need. But they chose not to. Now here comes the Samaritan. Now the Samaritan is despised by the priest, the Levite. Despised by the Jews. He comes by. And he sees this man that is beaten and left for half for dead. And he took him, in verse 34, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. This Samaritan, you understand why that term, the Good Samaritan, is mentioned? There are many opportunities in the Word of God that brings that to light. Here is one of them. And so not only did he tend to his wounds. But then he lifted him up and put him up on his own beast, upon his own mule or donkey or whatever it might have been. And then he took him to an inn, and he continued to care for him that night. Well, the next morning he had to get about his way. He went down to the innkeeper, went down to the front desk, and he paid what was owed to the innkeeper for the stay that he had had, plus for an extended stay. And then he had a request for this innkeeper: would you please care for this man? And any extra expense that you would have, put it on my tab, and I'll be back through, and when I am, I will settle up with you. Did this Samaritan know this man, know this person? No, not at all. But the question then was, now of these three, thinkest thou was unto him that fell upon the thieves? Who was the neighbor? Well, he said the one that had mercy, the Samaritan. He agreed with him, and it's correct. And so as we look through these scriptures, and we find, again, the question that was asked, you know, in the verse 25, he wanted to tempt him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? Well, he's following the law, you see. The problem is that he isn't looking for salvation. He should have asked, Master, how can I be saved? Instead of that, he had a question here: what shall I do to inherit life? Well, he knew he wasn't serious, but he sent him to the law. What readest thou in the law? How readest thou it? And then he begins, and he quotes it perfectly. He adds to it a little bit, if you'll notice, with all thy strength, it says there in verse 27. And Jesus confirmed, you've answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Well, the only way that you can do what he says is right in verse 27 is to be born again. You cannot carry out what verse 27 tells us unless you are born again. You have to be saved. You must be born again in order for you to be able to do what verse 27 tells us and what back in Matthew 22 is all about. It begins with being born again. He had a question, and the Lord Jesus knew that he was not serious about it. Who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus gave him an example. Anyone that's in need, the scripture lets us know here, there are neighbors, and there's a lot of need out there. We need to walk with the Lord Jesus. We need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Please, that you do that. But the problem is that you can't do that unless you're born again. And then it's a matter of surrendering to the will of God. Yes, you have the power to do it. Now, without Jesus, you don't have the power. But when you have the power to do it, then you still have to surrender your old flesh, your old life, because these things you don't like to do. Thought maybe you'd enjoy that. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 13. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We read from Matthew 22, 35 through 40, and Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Now on to the 11th verse, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Back up here as we look at this 11th verse. Now knowing that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now that may be a confusing statement to you, and I hope to be able to clarify that. There are three salvations, three tents. One is a free gift. That's the first one. Salvation, eternal life, our sins forgiven. All that comes with the first salvation, and that comes only by faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross to save you, to take your sins away. That's the first one. You must come there first. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive His free gift of salvation. The second one has something to do with sanctification. We receive our righteousness, the righteousness of God, the day we are saved, born again. That salvation, the first one, the born-again salvation, the one that's a free gift. But the second salvation is one that involves us, because we have to surrender to the flesh, turn against the flesh and surrender our life to the Lord Jesus, to walk as He wants us to walk, as the scripture verses we've just read. We need to walk each day serving Him and praising Him. And so that is a salvation. That's the second. And that's a work that's going on. The one that He's talking about here, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That is the final one, because there's going to be a day. We were born again, the first salvation, the day you come by faith to Jesus. And then the being saved, and don't confuse that with the first one, because the first one's a free gift. We have eternal life. Our sins are forgiven. But when we want to walk and serve and praise God and live a life, a godly life that He wants us to live, that is a work in progress. And because the Spirit of God, upon receiving Jesus Christ, our first salvation, that first step of salvation, we trust in Jesus, we're saved, we're born again, we're sealed, never to lose that salvation. But we still got the old flesh. And so that's part of that cleansing, that sanctification. We need to work and surrender to the will of God, surrender to the Spirit of God that's in our heart. And that process will last all of our life. We will never come to the place that we would be what some term sanctified holy. We're never going to get there until we leave this earth and go on to the next, this life and go on to the next. And that's the second one. It's a growing time. We're learning, we're growing, we're surrendering. We're being made closer and more like the Lord Jesus. That's going on. Okay. Now, the third one, and that's the one it's talking about here. High time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That salvation is the third one, and that's the one that comes upon our death or upon the rapture of the church, whichever comes first. As we have read many times, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, those that are asleep will be raised out of the grave and receive their glorified bodies. And we which are alive will meet them in the air and follow them home to be with the Lord. And it'll begin, the tribulation period here on earth, we will begin the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. What a wonderful time. Upon that event, either your death, my death, or the rapture of the church, that is this salvation, because that's when no more pain, no more suffering. We will receive our glorified bodies. But even prior to that, upon death, and our soul will go immediately into the presence of the Lord, we have received then this wonderful salvation. Now, it will be completed upon our body and our soul being reunited. But this is a wonderful time, because no more heartache, no more suffering, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. You see, every day, whether that means Jesus is going to come and get us, the rapture of the church, which we know is soon, or does that mean that we face death? Either way, that is that salvation. And it is nearer today than when I believed. I believed, some 40 years ago. And so I am nearer to this day than when I believed. Well, most definitely. So you see, there's three of them. One of them is a free gift handed to us. The second one is a work to surrender to the old flesh, to turn it away, and surrender to the Spirit of God to walk each day. So we don't surrender to the flesh, we surrender to the Spirit of God, and deny the flesh is a better word there for you. And so now, that's a work that lasts all of our life. And then the final one is the total victory, and that comes upon death. It comes upon the Lord Jesus coming to get his church and rapturing his church. And so it is nearer than when we believe. So I hope that will clarify that if you were confused a little bit with that verse of Scripture. Now, the night is far spent in verse 12. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. It's time to get to work. And we have the same thing up in verse 11. Awake out of sleep. We got so many folks that they think all that's important, all they need to do is come and sit in church on Sunday morning, and that's all there is. We don't need to do anything more than that. Oh, there is so much work to do. There's much work around the church to do. There's much work around the bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, witnessing, sharing the gospel with them. It's time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation near. The time of our death or the time of Jesus coming, whichever comes first, is coming, and it's coming soon. So please wake up and get to work. Get to work. The time is short. You want to stand before Jesus? You want to come before him and have nothing? Said, I saved you, Jesus would say. I bought you with my blood. And yet you never served me. You never did anything. You were so consumed with your own self that you did not serve me. I am your God. And it's saying, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let's therefore cast off the works of darkness. So let's begin to walk as we should walk. And let us put on the armor of light. This is that second salvation. We need to walk and serve him. The walk in light. Put off those things that the world looks at and the world does. Put those off and walk and serve the Lord Jesus. Let us walk honestly. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. We need to walk each day in serving the Lord. Put on the armor of light. The armor of God is a wonderful tool that we should always have on the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird your loins with the truth, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Oh, it's wonderful. Shield of faith. Please, the armor of God. We'll talk about that next time, and then we'll close this chapter out and get on to verse 14. put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that armor is. We'll look back to that verse of Scripture. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?